The question is being asked about the opportunity to again attain a human form of life. How can one be sure that he attains a human form of life? And in particular circumstances, if a person is worshipping various demigods, which is called Panchupasanam, worship of Ganesh or Durga or Shiva, of course Vishnu is included there, Vishnu or Surya, Panchupasanam, worship of the demigods, will one get a human birth next life to progress in bhakti or progress in anything? Well, basically, it seems that you're asking a question about getting a human birth. So whether you, no matter what, there's, if you follow the Vedas, the Vedic Shastra, the rules and regulations of Veda, and live the Vedic way, irregardless of who you worship, whether you worship demigods or Vishnu or demigods, whoever you worship, if you follow the Vedic way, then you'll get a human birth. One will devolve into an animal species when one disregards the Shastra, when one engages in sins. Then, for example, if someone eats meat, and they eat cow or something like this, then they have to take birth as an animal next life. So that's a little difficult to worship demigods as an animal. And so you can't do any worship when you're an animal, demigods or anything. If you eat cow, for example, you have to take birth and be slaughtered for every hair on the back of the cow's body. If you eat one hamburger at one time in McDonald's in America, made from cow, obviously, and there's so many, that came from one cow, and on that one cow's back, there's thousands and thousands of hairs, or hair, let's say. And you have to take one, just for that one, you have to take so many thousands of births. It'll be a long time before you again work off that karmic reaction, that sinful reaction, to get human birth again. So if one lives, follows the laws of God properly, he's guaranteed a human life. And then when one is a human being, he'll be inclined toward a particular type of worship depending on the samskaras that he's carrying with him, which means the impressions, the mental impressions, or samskaras, mental impressions from his last life. Whatever activities we engage in now with our senses, they create samskaras. The more repeatedly, or the more repetition of a particular activity, makes a stronger and stronger samskara. For example, if someone spends hours and hours a day practicing music and perfecting music, they create a samskara for music, material samskara. So next life, when they're born, when they're a young age, they pick up some instrument, start playing it. How do you know this? You didn't go to music school. I don't know, I have it. So this is samskaras. So samskaras are there for material activities and also spiritual activities. But generally, if someone is worshipping demigods in this lifetime, then the next lifetime they'll also have the proclivity to worship demigods. So this is the point. If one is worshipping demigods according to scripture and pleasing them, then the demigods will bless them with samskaras to be inclined towards their boss. Because all the demigods are devotees. They're all worshippers of Vishnu, themselves. Although they have their own agenda. They're all doing service. They're all serving. He's like, the demigods are all ministers. And Vishnu is the prime minister. Well, it's all one unit to run this material world. Vishnu is the prime minister and everyone else is a minister. So when one is pleasing the ministers and worshipping the demigods very nicely, which very few people do, but actually according to Shastra, then the demigods become pleased and they bless you with an introduction to the minister, chief minister, Pradhan Mantri. They give you some adhikar to get some association with Vishnu Bhaktas, because that's really what they want to give you. For example, the father, the son may come to the father and say, give me some money, give me some money. And he's giving money, but he's thinking, actually, I'd really like to train my son how to work in such a way he could make his own money. But he's so lazy, he just keeps asking. Even I say, would you like to learn? I can teach you how to make money. No, you just give me money. So the demigods would really like to give all their worshippers Vishnu Bhakti. But their worshippers don't want it. They just want material rewards, material benefits, health, position, power, money, good friendship, or wife, husband, this, that. Oh, Shiva, give me a wife, or this, or that. Give me a husband. All right. So everyone can get a human birth. Every human being can get a human birth again if they follow the Shastras. They're basically a good Hindu. They don't eat any meat, and they don't drink, and they follow the basic laws. They'll get a human birth again. But if they don't give any charity, and they have wealth, but they don't give any charity, they don't distribute grains, they don't distribute cloth, or give money for schools or hospitals, or any type of charity, which is also told in Shastra, then next life, although this life they may be wealthy and nicely situated, next life they'll be human being, but they'll be poor. Because you only get what you give. If you're not charitable, if we're in good position now, beauty and wealth is because these are the fruits of our previous good deeds. In this life, we're just spending our money and not reinvesting, then when the money's over, then there's no interest, there's no money in the bank. So a lot of people, they say, oh, I this is all mine, this is all my wealth, my position, my beauty. And they just keep it for themselves and enjoy. Then next life, there'll be Shudra, there'll be ugly bodily features and not sufficient money, struggling for money, because they wasted all their assets on their own sense enjoyment, which was irresponsible life. Those that have should give to those that don't have. It's a whole science. The science of life is in the Shastra. So when one actually follows a Shastra, he can get a human life next time. And if he's a Vaishya and he has good money and he's doing lots of charity and all the things that Shastras tell human beings to do, then next lifetime again he'll be a wealthy Vaishya. Or why he's a Vaishya, a businessman, Vanya, if a lot of his charity, if he's giving to Brahmins and opening Sanskrit Vidyalayas and Shastradan and all these things, next life, and doing all of his Vaishya Dharma, but serving lots of Vaishnavas, next life he'll be born as could be a Brahmin or even a Kshatriya. He can go up. He can again become a human and go up by doing very good deeds in this lifetime, or doing borderline pious deeds in this lifetime, but not really doing what you're supposed to do in terms of giving charity. You'll go down. You'll be a human being again, but Krishna won't give you the same facility because you didn't use it properly. You were selfish. Kept everything for yourself. If you become a Shudra, a Chandala, not Chandala, but Shudra, vegetarian Shudra, but poor, struggling. It's all, man is the architect of his own destiny, they say. That's the general statement, but all the particulars are there in the Shastra. So we follow the Shastra, then we get another human life, and then our samskaras are there for demigods, and again we worship demigods, but now maybe we get somehow, because in the last life as a demigod worshiper, we gave some donation to ISKCON, or we bought an ISKCON book at one time. We did something towards on Vishnu's side. Our whole life was mostly with Durga, but we gave some money to build some Hare Krishna temple, or some Krishna temple. But we're a Durga worshiper. Well, okay, they came to my office, I gave them 5 lakhs, a big deal. Krishna, then next life, Krishna says, remember last life you gave? Now you meet a devotee. And he tells you about Krishna. Oh, Krishna's so nice. Oh, Durga works for Krishna. Watch out. Oh, maybe I had to think about Krishna. So then gradually he may come to Krishna Bhakti that way. The first thing is to make sure we live in such a way we get a human life. And if we're smart, we'll live in such a way that we get a good position. Because if next life I get a human life and I'm just worried about money all the time, I wouldn't have any time to think about God. So we're fortunate when we have sufficient free time and a healthy body, so we're not always chasing doctors because of diseases. That's a fortune that we have to turn to God and to realize God and to do good things for others. Like we're sannyasis, and we get donations, and we have our books, and we sell our books, and then we distribute charity. But what have we done? We don't need anything. Very less we need. So if we take another birth, we'll be in good shape because we give a lot of charity. If you have, you should distribute to others. And most people in Kali Yuga are very, very selfish, very, very ego-centered, and enjoy now, pay later. Next life, you have to pay your dues. And people are so blind, they don't see next life. Or they don't even care. If they hear about it, they don't care. They're too attached. Even if you tell someone you should give charity, they won't. They're too attached. Unfortunate. You tell someone, the way you're living, next life you're going to be pulling a rickshaw. You won't be driving a BMW. Ah, come on, shut up, you stupid. The next life. You see the guy in the rickshaw. Hey, remember? Hey, did you have a, you know, I think you had a BMW your last life. Wait, really, a BMW? That's right. But you never gave anything to anybody. You gave all your money to your wife and to your kids. You spent 95 lakhs on your daughter's marriage and 110 lakhs on your son's marriage. But you never gave a dollar to a poor person or never fed anyone or any kind of donations to Brahmins. So, because all the Shastras talk about all kinds of charity you're supposed to give. It's all in the Shastra. But, oh, we don't care about Shastra. Okay. See what happens. So we know, we understand that the present shapes the future. The present 20 years, how I use the first 20 years of my life is going to determine the future, my future 60. And that's what you're telling your daughters all the time. Apply yourself, get a good grade, this, that. So do you think this 80 years doesn't, what we do in this 80 years doesn't determine our next life? It's like stupidity. And people are acting like stupid fools. They're worried about their education to get something for this life. Well, what about worried about this life to get something for next life? I think it's by chance. Oh, you don't go to school. You just do whatever you want and you'll end up with a PhD in chemistry and get a job as a professor. Don't you? In this life, whatever you have, you just enjoy your father's wealth. Is that you enjoy your beauty, health? Is that you enjoy next life, whatever you have? Well, you know, it's nothing by chance. Everything has a reason, a rhyme and a reason. Cause and effect. Whatever you put in, that's what you get out. That's not a very complicated calculation, complicated law. The law of cause and effect. You get high education, you get a good job. No education, no job. You live a charitable, God-centered, Shastra-centered life. Next life, you have a very good life. So, Krishna, we have our fortune, and that. It's from last life's activities, good things. It's not that you can't do get good things unless you do good things. If you have good health, good beauty, good money, it's because you did a lot of things in last life. Otherwise, how do you answer the question? Why isn't everybody in Delhi look as pretty as you? Or why doesn't everyone have as much money as you? Why are there ugly people? Why are there poor people? You have to have an answer for this question. It's a karma fall. They're all human beings, they're all spirit souls, they're all part and parcel of God. Why is one man Birla and the other guy is a bungee? It's a fall. But you can be a Birla and become a bungee by sin and misdeeds and sin. You can become an animal, become a cockroach. Pride, because of pride. Stories in the Puranas of king became a lizard. One king, he did some, misappropriated some charity or something, became a lizard in a well. There's all kinds of amazing things. Crocodile, in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, Gajendra Moksha, you talk about Moksha, your husband wants Moksha, Gajendra Moksha, liberation of Gajendra. Gajendra was an elephant being eaten by a crocodile. And Vishnu came and cut the head off the crocodile, because the elephant pulled a lotus flower with his trunk of his elephant trunk. He pulled a lotus flower from the lake because the alligator was in the lake eating his leg and pulling him into the lake and getting stronger, because the alligator is a creature of the water and the elephant's a creature of the land, so he had no strength there. So he remembered his last life. Of course, they say elephants have good memory, no? So remember this last life. In last life he was a king, and he was a deva in the heavenly planets. And he chanted some prayer as an elephant and offered a lotus flower. And Vishnu heard that and he came down with his chakra and saved him. And the elephant was a king, and the crocodile was also a king. And they got cursed, and he did something wrong, I forget what. And they both got cursed. Yeah, one day you're a deva in the celestial region, in the heavenly planets, and you become an elephant on earth. A big elephant's a king, you're up there like a king, so you didn't become a cockroach, you became an elephant. And the other king became a crocodile, that's like the king of the water is the crocodile. And the fresh water, the king of the fish is the shark. He's the big, the bad guy in the ocean. Shark. So, we should be careful about our future life. At least play it right, so it's not easy to even become a human being in Kali Yuga. Because people buy leather handbags and wear leather shoes, and that's from cows. They have to become a cow. You kill a cow, you become a cow. People are careless. People are careless and mindless about their activities. They have leather wallets and leather watch bands and leather belts and leather shoes and sandals. It's all hinsa. It all comes from violence. So when the consciousness expands, it includes everything. When you're God conscious, you become conscious of God and all this. God is everything. God is anoraniyan mahatomahiyan. God is the biggest of the biggest and the smallest of the smallest. So one becomes God conscious, then they become conscious of the atom, and they become conscious of the cosmos. They see God in the atom, they see God in the cosmos, and everything in between the atom and the cosmos. That means, because the real welfare worker in this world, only one can be a welfare worker in this world if he's God conscious, purely God conscious. Then because he loves God, then he loves the cows, he loves the ant, he loves the squirrels, the birds, every living entity. He doesn't harm anyone. He promotes everyone. By his glance, he promotes people. Darshan, it's called darshan, sattva darshan. By his words, he promotes people, promotes living entities. And by his actions, he promotes living entities. He's an ambassador of divine love. He's an emissary of goodness, a distributor of benefit for one and all. This is the pure devotee and Lord. I remember when I was 18, I became vegetarian. Philosophically, I thought, this is not very good to eat cows and all these things that we grow up in America, all these horrible activities and bad karmas. But I had a revolution when I was 18. I said, this is it. We can't create violence to anyone. So everything was a consistent vegetarian outlook. So everything went, the leather watch bands, and so I had to look for alternatives everywhere. Canvas wallet or nylon, like nylon type. And nylon nowadays, Velcro and nylon is quite common. And then canvas shoes and these kind of glider types, slip-on type shoes made of cloth shoes. We say canvas, cloth shoes, deck shoes. Some vinyl belts and this and that. Of course, be careful, read all the packages, make sure there's no gelatin inside. Gelatinous animal stomachs of cows and calves and all these things. And watch out for glue. And glue is made from the hoofs of animals. And you have to be all really conscious of the food you eat and the clothes you buy. But it's all part of God consciousness. I see people sometimes. They're so-called godly people. And they're wearing dead cows on their feet. And the shastras are very clear. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The Bible says the same thing. You reap what you sow. Sow means planting, and reaping means harvesting. You sow or you plant a mango seed, then you harvest a mango. You kill a cow for your sense enjoyment, because cow leather is much softer. No shoes, nothing's made from buffalo, just some coarse heads for drums and things like that, or some really junky, crappy Rajasthani shoes or something made from camel or buffalo. It's too hard. It's very stiff. The skin of buffalo, you see a buffalo's skin, it's like leather. I mean, it's not leather, it's worse than leather. But a cow's body, if you ever feel a cow's body, it's very soft. Their skin is very soft. You know, I mean, forget about the hair, but just the skin, it's the texture and this. They're very soft animal. And it's unfortunate such violence is being committed in the name of cultured human beings. It's a very sad note. We have a goshala, so it's a particularly sensitive issue.